AccuWeather forecast, going to be partly sunny. We'll have a high today of about 28. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave announcing this morning that the county and Villa Healthcare Management have discontinued their talks regarding the sale and purchase of the Ridgewood Care Center and that Villa is no longer being considered as a potential buyer. The due diligence process worked perfectly in this case, according to a statement from Delagrave. We wish Villa well, and based on the authorizing vote of the county board, we will continue to work toward the sale of Ridgewood with other interested and qualified candidates. He confirmed there remains strong interest from potential buyers with good track records of providing care, and he says the county will continue to carefully consider to whom and under what conditions it will sell Ridgewood. State Assembly has given its final approval to a bill that would weaken the influence of unions on public works projects, especially here in southeast Wisconsin, by preventing local governments from requiring project labor agreements, PLAs, as a condition of the public projects and their contracts. Republican Representative Rob Hutton says this is going to leave the decision up to each business.
To allow those decisions regarding PLAs to fall where they should, in the hands of those employers that have the opportunity to say, as a union firm, a PLA is important and vibrant and critical to my company.
Democrats argue the measure could put worker safety at risk, make it easier for out-of-state contractors to come in and underbid on local projects. That bill now heads to the governor's desk. Kenosha County Board Supervisor David Hallman requested a formal stance by the full governing body against violence and hate speech, specifically anyone targeted for their race, ethnicity, or religion. His proposed resolution unanimously rejected by the board's executive committee. He used personal experiences to emphasize his point, claiming, "I didn't think this was that big a deal or controversial."
This wasn't supposed to be difficult. This wasn't supposed to be controversial. This wasn't supposed to cause a ruckus. But apparently asking people to, like, understand and hear what it's like to be a person of color is very offensive to folks. I'm just shocked and surprised.
Supervisor Leah Bloff, a first-generation immigrant, said she understood the intent but could not support the resolution.
I know what it's like to be different, but I haven't been a target of any of these hate crimes, so I can't relate to his experience. That said, I can see both sides, but I do agree that it might be bringing a problem to this community that we don't have.
Supervisor Boyd Frederick calling it a solution in search of a problem and unnecessary. A crowd estimated at close to 300 gathered last night outside the Kenosha County Detention Center in regards to the immigrant rights situation and against the Trump administration's rules on refugees and immigrants. The gathering led by religious leaders from Kenosha and Racine. At that gathering, Reverend Tony Larson of Unitarian Universalist Church indicated efforts are underway to make the downtown site in Racine a sanctuary church to shelter undocumented immigrants. A chemical spill at the State Patrol way station on northbound I-94 in Pleasant Prairie yesterday afternoon forced evacuation of that facility for a time. It was the cleanup of a small amount of sodium hydroxide. Nobody got hurt. Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute putting out their annual health rankings for every county in the state. Racine shows up 62nd overall, Kenosha 64th, Milwaukee 71st. Topping the list is Ozaukee County. More than 30 factors looked at, including poverty, transportation, jobs, plus how long and how well people live. Might be gaining traction in other parts of the country, but the Speaker of the State Assembly is against a Democratic proposal that would allow assisted suicide here in Wisconsin.
I pride myself on trying to listen and learn from people who are smarter than I am and who are more passionate about a topic, but I have to say I can't see myself changing my opinion on allowing people to kill themselves as opposed to look for ways to find a cure.
Robin Voss says he has serious questions about the bill that would allow people in the state with terminal illnesses to end their lives with the help of a doctor. He believes the bill could cause patients to lose hope. The specific numbers for Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee counties are yet to come, but Wisconsin's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate in January dipped to 3.9%, first time under 4% in 16 years. It was 4.1% in December. The Sturtevant Plant Commission has put off a vote on the Racine Unified School District's request for those permits needed to start remodeling the Sturtevant Sportsplex for housing the real school, instead deciding to wait until after a meeting to discuss the outstanding issues and the district's response to the village's call for lost tax revenue reimbursement. Sturtevant, as a condition of the permit approval, included requested annual payments of $35,000. The school board's president, Mike Frontier, putting out a statement that said the board felt the payment was not appropriate. The permit permit for the school and related sports facility up before the Plan Commission last night. Village engineer Jeff Seitz moving to wait until both sides have a chance to meet on all the outstanding issues.
I think it should be one package deal, but it's typically how we've done in the past. With these types of developments, it's the final plans, it's the terms and conditions, it's the whole business operations, it's everything that we tie up with one goal.
Village President Steve Jansen agreeing with that. Chief Operations Officer for the school district, David Hazen, said the district had hoped to have the needed permits in hand by April 1st to allow the real school to open on time next fall. The Racine Taxpayers Association scheduling a couple of candidate forums in relation to the April election contest for the Village of Mount Pleasant, and the public's invited. The first will be March the 22nd, involving incumbent board president Jerry Garski and challenger Dave DeGroot, who's a trustee. They're scheduled to answer questions from 7 to 8 p.m. that night at the Village Hall. The following night, March the 23rd, same place, also 7 to 8 p.m., a forum involving the six trustee candidates, the incumbents Sonny Haven, Dave DeGroot, John Hewitt, challengers Dale Steger, John Martini, and also Charles Hockma. Longtime Pleasant Prairie Village Administrator Mike Polakoff planning to retire this spring. He's been 32 years on the job, the search still underway for a successor. He's credited with launching Prairie's Boomtown era that turned the village from an agriculturally oriented community into one that saw explosive growth across the board in residential, retail, and industrial sectors. Polakoff coming on board in the mid-1980s when things weren't exactly moving too fast.
The goal of the community, since I first started here, was to, you know, create a vibrant tax base and diversify our economy as much as possible. And I know when I first came here, after I was here for about 6 months, I thought, oh my goodness, this is, you know, I mean, my first year, I remember there was only one house built in the village, and it came in on a truck.
Over the next 30 years, however, Pleasant Prairie became a village, Lakeview Corporate Park was born, retail flourished along the interstate, and residential subdivisions sprouted up all over the place, all helping to more than double Pleasant Prairie's population. He's 63 years old. Polakoff set a retirement target date for the end of May. No internal candidates have applied for that job. And the 45th Annual Kenosha Unified School District-wide Student Art Exhibit opening up tomorrow at the Kenosha Public Museum, running through April 23rd. There's a free gallery opening event this evening from 5 to 7 p.m. Caledonia's East Side Community Center along Douglas Avenue expected to be sold in the near future as the new Village Hall continues to be constructed. But whether the woods behind it will be included, that remains to be seen. And questions about where groups using that space will go after that appears to have some answers now. Village Administrator Tom Christensen telling the trustees this week that the seniors use East Side the most for their card club. That could be accommodated with the building at Caledonia Mount Pleasant Park, while the new building could handle most other uses.
We contacted Jim Svoboda from the Joint Park, and he has the meeting time and space available to accommodate the Senior Citizens Card Club. So that's a real simple fix. They can head over there. Something I hadn't considered, that's the handicap access. We can look at working on getting a ramp there if that's what's necessary to make that work. I think that's a legitimate concern.
Christensen noting the sale of the building has a number of steps yet to go with the overall process.
Before any sale can occur, it has to go to Plan Commission, and this is for the community center by itself and or the park. It has to go to Plan Commission to see, to ensure that whatever the use is fits within the plan for the village. It has to go to Parks Commission for their approval, and it has to be ultimately approved by the village board. And at any of those meetings, there'll be ample opportunity for citizen comment and input as to what's going to happen.
Caledonia's Public Works Committee this week forwarded multiple offers of purchase for the East Side Center to the Village Board for review and future consideration by the Parks and Plan Commissions. The fundraising's been going so well for the Kenosha Shalom Center's new shelter location on 39th Avenue that an official groundbreaking ceremony has now been announced for next Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. The site for a single-location homeless shelter has been undergoing extensive internal renovation already. Fundraising took off once word came that a large federal grant had been denied. Right now, Kenosha uses a rotating system of churches to house the homeless overnight called the Inns Program. The Shalom Center itself has an emergency family shelter over at Soup Kitchen at 17th Avenue and 62nd Street. Those will be moving to the new site once completed. Kenosha Circuit Court Judge Bruce Schrader has sentenced Paula Whitaker to 2.5 years in prison, then 3 years of extended supervision. She pled guilty to allowing the use of her apartment for prostitution. The 56-year-old Whitaker, arrested last fall, is part of a nationwide FBI human trafficking sting operation. The charging document said she allowed a couple of teenage girls, one of them her own daughter, to use her apartment for the illegal activity. Whitaker getting credit for 143 days spent in the Kenosha jail from the time of her arrest. A reminder that starting Sunday and going through April the 2nd, pet owners in the city of Racine have a chance to buy a license for their pet without the $10 additional late fee charged onto it. The normal deadline is January 31st. They did this last year, and about 100 animals were properly licensed. And the list of the 100 best companies to work for by Fortune magazine includes two from Wisconsin within the top 10. Robert W. Baird, which of course has offices in downtown Racine, ranking fourth. Number nine on the list, Sheboygan-based Acuity, a casualty and property insurer. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.